instant warning. Welcome to the Master's Call. Once again, this is Tiffany Lauderdale from Inglewood, California. It has been an honor to greet each one of you with the warmest of kingdom greetings on this wonderful day that the Lord has made. At this time, I'm going to go ahead and turn the call over to our host for the morning. Go ahead and come to the line at this time.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you, Minister, our songbird, Minister Tiffany. Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, I'm here. I hear you loud and clear. Take it away, my sister.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning to the Master's Call community. My name's Benita, and I'm here in New Jersey. We welcome you to the Master's Call on this Wednesday that the Lord has made. The Master's Call was founded October 25th, 2010, by two awesome women of God, Dr. P.K. Roberts and Dr. Vanessa Weatherspoon, who is lovingly known also as our Mother Eagle. Amen. Both of these awesome women were planted the seed and have planted the seed, and we are all prospering from this seed. This harvest is growing and stretching all of us and the Master's Call community, the listeners, the participants, our praise reports, our prayer requests. And our mission statement is to enrich, enhance, and empower believers as they begin their day. The call scripture stands on Psalms 88:13. But to you I have cried out, O Lord, and in the morning my prayer comes before you. Well, we stand on that because, oh my God, what happened last night and just through the morning that the Father has brought us through. Amen. We invite you to join us each and every morning, Monday through Friday, live. And depending on where you're located, it is Pacific time, 5 a.m., and Eastern time, 8 a.m. But if you're interested at any time listening to the Master's Call, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you are free to go to our website, themastersmorningcall.wordpress.com, and you can just scroll through from the beginning of our inception on October 25th. Everything is archived on that website. There is a message there for you. Whatever you happen to be going through at the time, there is something there for you. We ask you to also share that website with others that are also going through. It is a beautiful place to go ahead and download and just listen to these messages. We also have our email, and it's themastersmorningcall@gmail.com. This is where you can send your praise reports. We always love to hear the miracle of what God is doing in your life. And your prayer requests, because we have some frontline warriors that are out there praying for our community, our TMC family, Artists International, and the family of Artists International. So you could just go ahead and send it there. If you're interested in becoming part of the family, please feel free to send that request, and our awesome woman of God, Minister Robin, will get right back to you, and we welcome you to the TMC family. So I know God is tugging on some hearts. We've got some faithful listeners. Come on and join the family. You heard me say Artists International. Yes. The Desdillion family is the founder of Artists International, and that was the vehicle that brought us all together. And what we all love about Artists is that it is a Christian-based company, health and wellness. Amen. God has given us to be good stewards over our body, and our body is it's not ours. It's only loaned by Father to us. So we so embrace the Artists International community, the health and wellness business, and to top it off, it's a Christian-based family. And if you don't know about Artists as you're on this call, please get back to the person that invited you to the call. And if that person doesn't know about Artists, simply send an email to us and we'll explain a little bit more about what Artists International means to us. Well, right now, we just want to make sure that we always open our morning with prayer. In the morning, you hit your knees, you close your eyes, you share a moment with God. because just this morning God gave to you again. So to that, we are going to open this call up in prayer, and we're just going to ask you to come to the altar. Come to your altar. Come to your personal space altar. And wherever you are, just quiet your mind right now. And we're going to go to our Father in prayer. Amen. Father God, we come to you this morning, this day that you gave to us, Father, not that we were worthy to have this day, but because you love us, Father, because you are the great I am. You are the beginning and the end, the Omega and the Alpha. Father God, we know that you have our best interest at hand, and we want to just say thank you for that, Father. We want to say no more than thank you. We want to just make sure we emulate what you have given to us, that we are going to be the ministers in your marketplace, Father, that we shine. When people see us any time of the day, they'll look at us and say, oh, my God, that person has a glow. And that's going to be your glow, Father. We want to make sure that we always keep in our heart how precious you are to us, because this day was definitely not promised to any of us. And whatever we're going through, Father, we want to make sure that we stand on your word, that you only want the very best for us, that you know exactly where we're at, no matter what the challenge or the test, Father, that is so that we can glorify your name, that at the end of whatever it is we're going through, we can say, oh, my God, there is a God. My God brought me through this. Yes, he did. And we're going to make sure, just so that the airways are clear and that the message and the messenger can be heard clearly, that we just tell you, Satan, step behind me. Step behind. There is no place on this call. There is no place in our heart. There is no place in our spirit for you. So we quiet you this morning, and we will be prepared to hear the message from our anointed messenger. We are going to cover this prayer with your son's blood, and we will proceed in a peaceful mind. Amen. Amen. And to that, we are going to bring forward one of our very own, one of our loved sisters of the Lord. This woman I met through the TMC family, and I tell you, the fact that I have met so many awesome people of God is such a moving thing for me that I just dance like David and say, oh, my God, if it weren't for you, I would not know these people. And this woman is a mother. She wears many hats. She's a mother. She's an anointed woman of God. She is a churchgoer. She is always right at the plate when it comes to any raising their hand. If there's something that needs to be done for the TMC family, she is right there at the forefront. I love and adore her. She is such a woman that I just say, you know what? One day when I grow up, I'm going to be just like her. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm not going to hold this up any longer because we want to get the full message. And I'm going to ask our very own Minister Tammy, are you there?
Good morning, Minister Benita. Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear, sister. Take it away. Thank you.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Benita, for hosting and opening in prayer this morning, for clearing the airways this morning. We just thank God for you. We thank Minister Tiffany for greeting this morning and setting the atmosphere and ushering in the Spirit of the Lord. To our founders, Dr. P.K. Roberts, and our mother eagle, Dr. Vanessa Weatherspoon, simply thank you. To God be the glory. Father, God in heaven, I come in the name of your son, Jesus, asking that you bless your child today. Help me to do your will. Let the words flow freely, unbound, unhindered, and unchecked from my mouth with the help of your Holy Spirit. Let these words which you have given break yokes and bonds and bring salvation to your people according to your will. Let them be delivered in the time you set. I plead the blood of Jesus over this word, myself, and this call. May it bless each and every person under the sound of my voice. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Today, we're going to continue this series that God gave me about coming to get your blessing. Your setback is just a setup. The way we look at things as we go through our trials can hinder us from receiving our blessings, but so many blessings can come out of our trials, our setbacks. It just depends upon us and how we relate to the transformation. Today, God wants you to know how to reap a harvest that you didn't sow as a reward for loving others. He is a giving Father and wants to bless us. I will paraphrase some scriptures, and I'm using the New American Standard Translation. The book of Ruth is written in the time of the judges, when the priests or elders were called to decide matters of importance, and each person was doing whatever they thought was best and right in their own eyes, but not under the commandment of another. This was a time when sin was run amok amongst Israel and its people individually and corporately. Much like what we see today in our society, as we describe it, I got mine, now you better get yours the best way you know how. The book of Ruth begins by telling us that there was a famine in the land of Judah, where Elimelech, Naomi, and their two sons lived. This caused them to move to the land of Moab, where there was still food available, and where Naomi and Ruth remained until Elimelech and his two sons died. Our text scripture is Ruth 1 and 6. Naomi arose with her daughters-in-law and determined she might return from the land of Moab, for she heard the Lord had visited his people in giving them food. As she departed from this foreign land, she thought about the welfare of her two daughters-in-law and what was best for them. She put their needs first. Isn't that what God tells us to do? Treat others the way you want to be treated in Matthew 7:12. Ruth spoke the following blessings over them in verse 8. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. May the Lord grant that you may find rest, each in the house of her husband. This is not what we expect from a mother-in-law at all. Even though her sons were dead, some people might expect you to remain loyal to them for their own benefit. During this time, it was also common for people to be selfish, much like today. This was a time of disobedience, idolatry, and violence. But God had a plan. God said, come get your blessing. Your setback is just a setup, reaping a harvest. The Bible does not tell us why, but Ruth persists to stay with her mother-in-law, Naomi, after her husband died. Despite Naomi's urging that Ruth go back to her homeland and family, where she would probably marry again, have a family, and have been well taken care of, she, unlike Orpah, refused to turn back. After Elimelech, her father-in-law, and her husband died, Ruth found herself and her mother-in-law without support. So when Naomi decided to go back to her own homeland, Ruth pledged her loyalty in chapter 1:16, for where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Ruth even went so far as to say nothing but death shall part them, as she pledged in verse 17, where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Thus may the Lord do to me and worse, if anything but death parts you and me. So it was settled, and Naomi accepted her vow, and they departed for Bethlehem. Upon their arrival, they were met by women who immediately recognized Naomi and inquired of her return. At this time, Naomi, who had left Israel married and well off, returned widowed and poor. Therefore, she felt that the Lord was punishing her and changed her name from Naomi, which meant pleasant, to Mara, which meant bitter. She was so overcome by her own circumstances and loss of her husband and both sons, she didn't see the blessing in Ruth's commitment to her. Her situation seemed devastating, and that was all she could see at the time. Oh, but God had a plan even at that time. That's why we have to praise him even when we're going through. 1 Kings 8:56 says, blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel, according to all that he promised. There has not failed one word of all his good promises, which he promised through his servant Moses. God is faithful. He will never leave you nor forsake you. How many of you know that sometimes we have to get up and seek the provision of God. You can't sit there and wallow in your situation and feel sorry for yourself. You must seek the Lord at all times. In Matthew 7:7, Jesus said, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you." According to the Bible, the time of the arrival was the beginning of barley harvest, which will be in late April or May, just before the wheat harvest. Barley ripens before the wheat, Exodus 9:31-32. These were considered the first fruits. It was a time of plenty in Bethlehem when they happened to return, a time of hope. Oh, it looked like they had lost everything, and all hope was gone, but God had a plan, and surely he orchestrated Naomi and Ruth's return to Bethlehem, because later David and Jesus the Christ would be born in the same town through the same bloodline. God said, "Come get your blessing. Your setback is just a setup, reaping a harvest." Immediately, Ruth began to take initiative to help her situation instead of waiting or hoping for someone to come and rescue her or to have good luck. She asked Naomi's permission to go to the field to glean so that she might find favor in someone's sight. She was already looking out for herself and her mother-in-law. Holman's Bible Dictionary defines gleaning as the process of gathering grain or produce left in a field by reapers or on a vine or tree by pickers. Mosaic law required leaving this portion so that the poor or aliens might have a means of having food and earning a living. The reapers were those hired to cut down the stalks and tie them into bundles. So when Ruth went into the field, she was gleaning what others had been reaping, and yet still others had sown. None of the work of this harvest, none of the work of this produce, was of her hands, but yet she would glean from it, benefit from it as her own. In other words, she didn't plant it, but she was willing to go get it, not waiting for someone to give it to her. She went out to make provision for herself and Naomi. Remember, Ruth was a Moabite woman from the land of Moab. She was not of their culture, yet she was worshiping Naomi's God and helping Naomi. She went out in faith that she would not be turned back. She would not be turned away as a foreigner, that she would find favor in someone's sight. God made it so that all she had to do was show up and pick up the barley. Ruth sacrificed her own chance to have a better life, and others noticed her kindness and devotion to Naomi. God provided for her in this field where she had neither sown nor reaped. John 4:37-38, thus the saying, "One sows and another reaps," is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. Praise God. God says, come get your blessing. Your setback is just a setup, reaping a harvest. While Ruth was gleaning in the field, chapter 2, verse 3 says, she happened to come to the portion of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. How many of you know that when God is in the midst, there is no chance? But in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Proverbs 3:6. Ruth 1 and 6 are reference scripture led me to Zephaniah 2:7, a book I didn't even know existed. And the coast will be for the remnant of the house of Judah. They will pasture on it. In the houses of Ashkelon, they will lie down at evening, for the Lord, their God, will care for them and restore their future, their fortune. It spoke to my spirit that God would give them back their fortune. Ruth and Naomi had lost their husbands and their means of survival, but in this land held back for God's people, he would provide for them, and they would feed or pasture from it, just as the Lord did provide for them when they reached the land of Jerusalem. They ate of the land. When they arrived, it was a time of harvest, and they were blessed and allowed to pasture in a small area of the field that belonged to Boaz. The land which Ruth and Naomi had left was in a famine. God was punishing the people there, but he allowed them to leave and go to a place where he made provision. Only through their obedience were they able to receive this provision. They had to get up and go to the place where he had made the provision. Even when they did not know it, he was making a way for them, and all they had to do was remain faithful and endure the journey. God is faithful to his promises, and he kept this promise to Abraham's descendants, that he would save a remnant. Indeed, Ruth finds favor with Boaz. Why? What others call chance is certainly ordained by God. When Boaz came from Bethlehem, he questioned his servant in charge of the reapers, whose young woman is reaping in his field. The servant told him that it was Ruth, the young Moabite, who returned with Naomi from the land of Moab. They told how she asked to glean after them among the sheaves and had been in the field since morning and only rested a little while. Because of what his servants have informed him about Ruth, he knows that she is not like others, but must be a good woman, and asked the Lord to bless her. She was a Moabitess woman, not of Bethlehem. She was widowed and poor herself, but young enough to marry again and stay in her own country, but she chose to go to another land where she faced uncertainty with her aged mother-in-law. Once there, she immediately began to care for Naomi selflessly by working long into the day, taking not only for her, but for Naomi, and her work was not unnoticed by Boaz's servant. Ruth didn't become weary in her well-doing like some of us, for the Bible says in Galatians 6:9, and let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Ruth was reaping much for her faithfulness to Naomi. In chapter 2:16, Boaz commanded his servants to purposely pull out for her some grain from the bundles and leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her. Others would have left Naomi by now, taking care of someone else's mother and having a strain of that responsibility. Who would do that? But Ruth didn't leave. She was focused on her work. Once she found favor with Boaz, she continued to work hard. So she was persistent in her diligence and commitment to Naomi. She remained loyal to her and did not just abandon her now that she had been accepted by Boaz. She remained with her mother-in-law even until the end of the barley and wheat harvest, remaining close to Boaz's maid. God says, come get your blessing. Your setback is just a setup reaping a harvest. Then Ruth went to offer herself to Boaz as instructed by Naomi, and when Boaz discovers her, he says, Ruth 3:10-11, you have shown your last kindness to be better than the first by not going after young men, whether poor or rich. Now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you whatever you ask, for all my people in the city know that you are a woman of excellence. Boaz did not send her away empty-handed, but blessed her with more food to take to her mother-in-law. Why? Why did he do this? Because when Naomi and Ruth went to this land, the Lord blessed their provision through Boaz. She spoke what she wanted, to find favor with someone in the field. Ruth went into the field and picked what she could to help her mother-in-law and herself. People noticed, even if she did not know they were paying attention. And soon, her daily consistency and faithfulness, her kindness, and caring for Naomi was made known to Boaz, and he made provision for her to have more than enough without working harder. Her provision was blessed, and he even gave her more than she needed to take care of, or to take home to Naomi when she ate at his table with him. Psalms 132:15 says, I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her needy with bread. God blessed Ruth because she blessed Naomi. Ruth reaped even though she did not sow. And in closing, we learn from Ruth that, first, God will bless you in your faithfulness to his people. When we are kind and care for others, God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, Hebrews 11:6. God will provide for you, second, in your time of need. Philippians 4:19 says, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And in Matthew 6:11, Jesus teaches us to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. Ruth had to go out to the field every day, but God provided for her when she got there. Through her discipline, there was enough food to eat. Ruth's obedience blessed her and Naomi. Each day, the Lord provided them food to eat. Third, continue to do good, even when it seems no one is noticing. For in Galatians 6:9, Paul says, and let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Family, no matter how hopeless your situation seems, there is protection for God's people. The devastation is not to destroy you, for Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." He certainly provided a future for Naomi and Ruth through Boaz, and out of this family line was born our Messiah, Jesus Christ, our Lord. God said, "Come get your blessing. Your setback is just a setup, reaping a harvest." I pray this message has been a blessing to each and all of you. Back to you, Minister Benita.
Amen, amen. Can you hear me, Minister Tammy?
Yes, I can hear you.
Thank you, my sister. Well, we thank you for that message. Your setback is just getting you ready for a setup. My God, I'm asking the family, go back and read that book of Ruth. Who is your Moab? Amen. Well, just so that you can hear that message again, it's 712-432-1085, and it's the same PIN number that you used to log in. Go back and listen to that message because it was truly an anointing. We're going to just move forward. I'm going to bring our prayer warrior to close out this call. Minister Candy, are you with us?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, my sister.
Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day to lift up the name of Jesus. I rejoice today because the name of Jesus is over every situation and circumstance. The name of Jesus is above every demon, and demons tremble at the name of Jesus. I praise the name. I love the name. I have faith in the name. I exalt the name, and I thank you, Father, because the name is alive and gives us power, and it has glory. There is no other name bigger and greater than Jesus. You said that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. You said with prayer and thanksgiving to make our requests known. So this morning I pray for the manifestation of healing to come forth for those who need healing. I thank you that the healing is already done in the spirit. I speak for healing to show up in the lives of the body of Christ. I pray that each person has faith, strength, and courage to stand on your word that says we are healed and that our bodies are the house of the living God. Sickness and disease cannot coexist with you. You are life, and your word tells us that death is your enemy. Your word tells us that you give us authority and dominion over the earth and over all that dwell in it. Your word tells us that life and death is in the power of our tongues. And I speak life today to everyone who is on our prayer list, to everyone who has petitioned us to intercede on their behalf. So spirit of sickness and disease, I cancel you right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I send you back to the pit of hell. I command you to leave the body of every person on our prayer list. Bodies, I command you to line up with the word of God in Jesus' name. I cancel lack, and I pray for a financial breakthrough for everyone on our prayer list. Your word says that you will supply all our need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You are a very presence in time of trouble, and you are more than enough. We are the seed of Abraham. We are joint heirs with Christ. The gold and the silver and the cattle on 1,000 hills belong to us. I call upon the blessing to overtake us so that we will continue to build up the kingdom of God. Lord, you said, Lord God, that every eye shall see and receive the wealth that is being shaken out of the hand of the wicked. So I thank you for financial breakthrough. I pray for every need that our Master's Call family has petitioned. You have heard us call them out person by person, name by name, in intercessory prayer. I bind every principality and power of darkness. I come against every foul spirit, every demonic stronghold sent by Satan and his demons. Father, I loose your anointing to destroy every yoke and remove every burden from the lives of our loved ones and every person who is a part of the Master's Call family. I loose the word of God in our minds, our mouths, and in our hearts so that your kingdom will dominate the earth through us. I love you, Daddy God. Hallelujah. And I pray this prayer in the precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Back to you, Minister Benita.
My God, thank you, Minister Candy, for closing us in prayer. And I want to thank Minister Tiffany for spiritually seating and greeting each and every one of us. And to our messenger, Minister Tammy, thank you so much for that word. Read that. We're going to ask our family to read that book of Ruth. Your setback is just getting you ready for your setup. Amen. And we just want to make sure we leave on your heart, www, fill a bottle, save a life, for one of our very own evangelists, Gwen Beatty. And to that, my name is Benita. And just remember, we are better together. All is well in 2012. We will hear you again tomorrow. Bye-bye for now.